haven't got a clue what he's talking about. You obviously planned that well. Happy New Year, everyone. It's so nice to be here speaking on the first Sunday of the year. I wasn't meant to be speaking, actually. I was actually down to speak in another church somewhere, but they bumped me. They said, we've actually booked in another speaker. Can you move back later in the year? I said, yeah, no problem, no problem. I said, could I be so bold as to inquire as to who the preacher is that you bumped me for? They said, oh, yeah, I don't know whether you've heard of him. Stuart Bray. Said, have you heard of him? Nah. Here are three things that are going to give you the absolute best year of your life. Best year of your life. Three things that you can receive, start receiving this morning, that will definitely give you the best year ever and the best year of your life. Here they are. Paul speaks about them in 2 Corinthians right at the end. He says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, your Father, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And those three are the three who will make your year the best year ever. We need grace, don't we? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing grace. We've been singing about it this morning. Our church is named that because it's a very good name for a church. Because the grace of Jesus is absolutely amazing. The grace, the love of Jesus is what it is, the opposite from what you expect from God. That's what grace is. When you go to God and expect one thing and get the opposite, that's grace. You see that in the life of Jesus all the time. Everyone who went to him received this amazing grace. There was that woman who was caught in adultery, who was unfaithful, full of sin, evil. You can find all sorts of reasons for justifying what she did, maybe, but she was guilty for sure, and she was in real big trouble because under the Jewish law, they could have stoned her. It was a big offense, and that Jewish law that came from God, incidentally, wasn't like a, it was God's law, that, which shows what God thinks about immorality. She comes before Jesus, and will she get God's law? No, she gets grace. Jesus protects her from all her accusers, sends all the stone throwers home, forgives her, pardons her, and sets her free as well. Says, go home and stop sinning. That's the grace of Jesus. Absolutely awesome. Then there was that centurion who came to him. The centurion came asking for his servant to be healed. He had a servant that he loved and wanted him to be healed. But the centurion coming is like a Nazi officer coming during World War II. This was the oppressive Romans who were destroying the nation, abusing everyone, murdering people. Absolutely horrific. And one of those guys, the Nazi, comes to Jesus, who's part of the whole regime. You can imagine what everyone thought Jesus was going to say to him. Oh, he'd have no time for him, or he'd rebuke him, or he'd bring him to his knees in repentance. None of it. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, well, he doesn't come to Jesus, does he? There's a couple of times centurions come to him, but one centurion doesn't come to him because he doesn't feel worthy. He sends his men. And his men, his soldiers, come to Jesus and say, the centurion's asking if you'll come and heal his servant. And Jesus says, yeah, no problem. I'll come straight away. Come on, lads, we're going to the centurion's house to heal his, we're going to the Nazi commandant's house to heat one of his servants is not very well. Come on, lads. He just shocks everyone, doesn't he? And then the servants say, oh, no, the centurion doesn't want you to actually come to the house. He doesn't think he's worthy for you to come to his house. That's why he hasn't come himself. But he's just saying to you, will you heal my servant? And Jesus said, oh. And Jesus was buzzing. Oh, what awesome faith he's got. What faith these Nazis have. So impressive. Hey, better than any of you Jewish guys. These Nazis are buzzing with faith. Of course he's healed. Jesus does the opposite from what you'd expect with life after life after life. Then there was Matthew, the tax collector, who was obviously, you know, if it was World War II, he'd be one of the collaborators with the Nazis, making money out of World War II. There was plenty of them, wasn't there? In Holland and all over Europe, in France. People who were actually nationals, but they sided with the Nazis to make money. I mean, they were absolutely despised and hated, these people. When the Nazis actually pulled out, they were the ones who got really hammered off everyone. Matthew was one of them. He was super friendly with the Romans, taxing the guts out of his own people, out of the Jewish people. He was absolutely hated, but Jesus just blew right through all of it. Goes right up to his little desk with all of his money on, looks him in the eye and says, follow me. And he did. He followed him. Jesus went straight back to his house with all the other collaborators and Nazis for a party. The Pharisees were outside really angry. Why does he eat with sinners? Jesus said, I've come for sinners. Jesus is good to sinners. It's great what Ian shared. It's good to be forgiven at the beginning of the year because we're all sinners. But Jesus' grace is for every day of the year for us, brothers and sisters. We'll sin again, probably in 2020. You might sin tomorrow. Someone like me, I might sin maybe November or something. But, you know, we need grace every day, don't we? We need the grace of this amazing Jesus. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you've been friends with the devil for too long. Super friends with this world. The Bible's really clear. You can't be friends with God and this world. You have to choose. But I'm scared of rejection from the world. Here we all are. You still have to choose. If you want to be friends with God, that'll draw you away from this world. Then there was that thief dying on the cross next to Jesus. Again, Jesus shows him amazing grace. He's a man or a lad, who, however old he was, who's totally destroyed his life through crime and evil. It doesn't tell you what crime he'd done. Serious enough for the Romans to crucify him. He's at the absolute end of all things. He's coming before God. A total sinner, dying. You know, brothers and sisters, we're all dying, aren't we? Happy New Year. We're all going to die. David said in the Psalms, there is one step between me and death. Actually, it's a good revelation. There always is. We're all dying. We're all going to die one day and come before God. But this young man was dying on a cross that day and coming before God. How much he needed mercy, how much he needed help. Maybe you're at the end of your life, you're at the end of yourself. Maybe you've absolutely destroyed your life and you just can see no hope, no way forward from this point. I'm sure this guy could see no way forward from this point. His life was over, but actually it was just beginning. Because he had the nous to look at the man dying next to him and realize he was different. Guilty, innocent, guilty, innocent. The other man dying the other side was still full of hell, swearing, shouting insults, mocking. Aren't people amazing? Isn't the human heart scary? People can die full of hell, full of anger towards God. Or some, as they're dying, realize, I need mercy. And he reaches out to Jesus. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know, there's no confess your sins, son. How long has it been since your last confession? There's none of that. There's just, he looks to Jesus, he receives grace. Listen, if you need grace today, and you do, look to Jesus who loves you. He loves this world. He loves this country. Things are changing. It's going to be a very interesting decade. Things are changing, but they can change for you now as you receive the amazing grace of Jesus. He loves to set people free. We went walking up the hills the other day. That's how I got so slim and fit. As we were walking up the hill, we were just walking past this field and we heard this little sheep shout, help! And we looked over the hedge and this sheep was all in a load of like bracken, old dead bracken, wrapped around its belly and its neck actually. Couldn't see it around its neck. But it was like stuck, you know, it was trying to move. And there was a house further up. So we thought, well, we'll knock on the door and see if the farmer's in, if it's his sheep, I don't know. But we went and knocked on the door. There was no one there. And so then we continued our walk up to this little chapel place we were going and came back down. And I said to Margaret, if the sheep's still there, I'll just shoot it. No, I said, if the sheep's still there, I'll try and jump over and help it, you know. Might get arrested or something, but... And it was still there. Give a little shout as we were walking past. We looked, it was still there. So I jumped over this with my farmer knowledge. Jumped over this fence. You nearly died getting over. And then I obviously jumped over the wrong side because I had to walk through all the bracken and stuff to get to the sheep. And I thought I'd just like be able to push it and it would come out, but it was really, really stuck. It was wrapped right around it, around its neck. And, you know, I was trying to break it. I couldn't break it. And eventually I prayed in the end. You know, I said, oh, Lord, please help me break this bit. And it broke the bit round its neck and it got free round its neck. And then I pushed it and it sort of pulled itself out and it got out. And it ran up the hill and started, must have been thirsty and hungry. You know, it started eating straight away. Shouted a little thank you. Cheers, mate. Maybe you're like that little sheep today. Sheep just wander off and start eating the wrong places, go in the wrong direction, get caught. It's easy to get caught, get trapped in sin and evil with the wrong people in this world. You're absolutely stuck. All the other sheep are just eating away, but you're dying. You're thirsty. You're hungry. Jesus is the good shepherd. If you call on him, he'll set you free today. We've sang that about chains breaking. It's the grace of Jesus, the awesome grace of Jesus doing exactly the opposite that you'd imagine. And then there's the love of God, our Father, God's unconditional love that sets us free. You know, Becca read today, forget the past. And only the love of God can help us do that, actually. Often on Route 61 or people getting counsel and healing, they're enabled by the Holy Spirit to really forget the past. And it's the love of God. Good news for 2020. God loves you. God loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you. And he wants to help you forget the past. I was thinking about Jean Darnell the other morning. Jean Darnell was a famous woman preacher, healer. When she was 17 years old, she raised a mum from the dead. It's in a book, Heaven, Here I Come. You can read it, all the account of it. It's an amazing story. When she was 17 years old, she was already holding little services around near her town and preaching and healing people, seeing real miracles. But her mum died, became ill and died. And she wouldn't let her mum go, you know. She was praying next to her bed and saying, Jesus, bring her back, Jesus, bring her back. And her mum came back from the dead. She wasn't really happy about it. She didn't speak to her for a few weeks, actually. That's the true story, because she came back into pain in this world. And her mum said she'd felt a lot of pain, weariness in the bed, agony, and then the pain started to lift, lift, and lift, and lift. And then there was Jesus on a beautiful sunny day with the grass all around and the warm wind blowing. And she took his hand and started to walk across the field and started to talk together. But then on the wind, they heard a voice. Jesus, bring my mum back. She tried to ignore it. And they took quite a few more steps. But on the wind, the voice kept coming. This is how powerful prayer is. Jesus, I can't live without my mum yet. I'm not ready for her to go. Bring her back. And you know what happened? Jesus stopped walking. And he said, you're going to have to go back for a bit. And she woke up in her bed. In agony. Thanks, Jean. Later on, Jean Darnell got married and her husband was the principal of a Bible college. And they were aiming to go to China as missionaries, but they never got there. They stayed in the UK. Because when they were on the flight that dropped down in Heathrow, and then they was meant to get another plane that they never got. Because when they landed in Heathrow, Jean had a vision of Great Britain. She saw Britain on fire with revival. It was the 1960s, and it gripped her so much, she thought, I'm not leaving here. She saw fire running up and down the northeast coast of England. Where is it we live again? Saw fire running up and down the northeast coast of England, and revival going right across Europe from Great Britain. She started to preach about it all around Britain. She came to the James Finnegan Hall. Me and Maggie Dawn went to hear her. Maggie Dawn's my first wife. And we went to hear her, and the reason I was thinking about this is because I always think about it when we think of that scripture, forget the past. And because she prayed for us, said a few things, can't remember what she said now, but as we walked off, there's a queue of people, she said, you two, and sort of stopped and she turned back, she said, don't forget you owe me a fiver. No, she didn't. She said, you two, don't look back. What a great bit of advice. Brothers and sisters, don't look back. Just after that, actually, the pastor I was working with had a massive, terrible nervous breakdown and all hell let loose in that church. And we ended up leaving and lost all our friends and my job overnight. And we were on a journey that brought us here. Good not to look back, innit? Brothers and sisters, in 2020, here's a bit of advice. Keep receiving the grace of Jesus. If we get what we deserve, none of us would be anywhere. What we need is what we don't deserve. Grace. There's grace here for you through Jesus. He wants to bless you and free you and forgive you and heal you because that's how good he is. He is amazing grace. And then receive the love of your Father as you go into this year. Keep receiving the love of your Heavenly Father. And don't look back. Forget the past. Your past is gone. You can't do anything about tomorrow. People always talk about saving time. You can't save time. It's moving. You can't save time. All you can do is choose how you're going to use it. Brothers and sisters, you choose how you use this year. You choose. Choose now. Start making the right choices now. You can be grumpy and miserable and unbelieving and rebellious, or you can be humble and happy and filled with the Holy Spirit and hopeful and believing. You choose those things. Choose to receive your Heavenly Father's awesome, awesome love. And then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the friendship of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness. To walk with the Holy Spirit is to walk in the light. He says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and the Holy Spirit is the light of the world as well, and our fellowship with him. It says if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to walk in the light of God this year. That means, you know, letting go of darkness, not walking in the darkness, not walking in this world. If we do, we'll be friends with God. If we're friends with God, we won't be friends with the world. It'll also decide our physical friends as well. That's what happens. If you walk with God, you end up walking with God's friends. You get a new gang. When I first became a Christian, I had to get a new gang. To get a new gang of friends. My old gang didn't fit me anymore. They wouldn't have liked me, and I didn't like them. We're going in totally different directions. And if you walk in the light with the Holy Spirit, friends have a massive influence on you, have you noticed? People you're really friends with will either lead you toward God or lead you away from God. They'll lead you towards believing certain things or not believing certain things. Friends are massively important. That's why the Bible says those who walk with the wise become wise. People who followed Jesus became like Jesus. People who didn't. Lots of people were healed by Jesus but didn't follow him. Lots of people were happy to hear the messages and be in the meetings, but didn't follow Jesus, didn't become friends with him. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is really important, yeah? Become friends with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let his light into every area of your life. It's brilliant, isn't it, when you're in a dark room, but you sense the strong sunshine outside. You know, I hate it when I walk in our front room if the lads are watching a movie and it's all the curtains are shut during the day. You walk in and, let the light in. We can't see. Can't see. Dad, I was going to score then and you walked right in front of the screen. But the light makes other things go dark. The light draws our attention. That's what light does. It's beautiful. It hits you, changes you. Makes you feel better. Doesn't the sun make you feel better? Getting the sun and it's shining on you. Because it's a sign and an emblem of Jesus. Jesus is the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings. And just like the sun itself can give you light and joy and health and hope, Jesus wants to shine in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you know, these decisions we make are like, they're like make or break for this year. Jesus standing at the door. You know, we do that thing at New Year, don't we, in Britain? We all do different, usually pagan things all over the world about New Year. You know, like going outside and who will be the first to enter the house? Well, listen, there's a tall, dark stranger who'd like to enter your house this year. He's called Jesus. And he wants to bring his light. And he wants to have fellowship with you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll have fellowship together. I'll eat with him and him with me. Me and Margaret were in Latvia once, in this town, and we went back to this woman's house for a cup of tea, a little flat. She was telling us about her life. She said, you know, common story. She said her husband left her and her son, and she was absolutely depressed, lonely. She'd never had anything to do with God. She'd grown up in a communistic family, in a communistic school, never seen a Bible, never been to church or anything. She said, but I was so desperately depressed and unhappy this night that I just threw myself on the bed sobbing, and I just cried out, if there's anyone there. Some of us have been at this place. If there's anyone there, please help me. She said, I just went, fell asleep in the end, crying. She said, in the morning, as the light was coming in the room, I opened my eyes and I heard a voice, clear voice, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Never read the Bible, this woman. She didn't know that was in the Bible. Me and Margaret were like drinking our tea, listening to this story. We said, what did you do? She said, I jumped out of the bed and went and opened the door. I opened the bedroom door. Then I went around the house. I opened all the doors. She said, I even opened the front door of the flat. And we said, and Jesus came in. She said, yes, Jesus came in. When I opened those doors, Jesus came into my life. She said, for some reason, I just began to feel peace and hope. She said, within a couple of days, a Christian visited me. First time ever anyone had ever been anywhere near me. And took me to church. And I gave my life to Jesus. And he gave me my first Bible. She said, can you imagine my surprise the first time I read these words in there? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, listen, Jesus is standing at the door of this new year. We're getting ready. We're ramping up to leave Europe. These are very significant things, brothers and sisters. The air will change. This country will change. And God will release the river. Do you like that bit of Lord of the Rings? Where the little image of the little Satans, the little demons have been making all their structures of evil for years and chopping down the trees and all these structures of evil and mines and war and hell. And, you know, they've been doing it for years and there's a tower of power of evil. You'd look at that scene and you'd think, oh, that can never change. The enemies overrun this world. This world can never change. But very quickly it changed. How? Release the river, said the big tree. Big tree beard, a bit like Craig. You know, they're fighting, and it's a hard fight. Hey, it is a hard fight, isn't it? It's a spiritual warfare. It's on the ground. It's in your life. It's in your family. It's in your prayers. It's in your workplace. It's a spiritual warfare every day for Christians. It's hard fighting. But it can be made easier. Release the river. And they release this river. And suddenly, the land is flooded. And all the structures of evil fall. And the enemy is trapped in his little tower now. And all the evil demons are drowned. And it's a new day. Going to happen in Great Britain. Going to happen in Europe. The Lord will release the river. And all the structures of evil will fall, brothers and sisters. Let's just make sure we're fighting on the right side. Not down the mine somewhere. No, come out into the light. Get fighting with tree beard. Get throwing some rocks. Get involved in the war. Now, this month, now, before the big changes come at the end of the month. Change now. Repent now. Come to Jesus now. You know, hey, I know some of you are new, you know, visitors, or you're coming into the church. It's absolutely awesome to see you. Put some armor on. Grab a sword. Get a surfboard and get ready. You know, you're very welcome. We welcome all the fighters and troops we can get. If you want to fight for Jesus, this is the place to be. If you want a little bit of church, you're probably not in the right place. If you want a little bit of church and somewhere nice for the kids, and there are many churches. If you want to fight for Jesus and be a disciple and be trained to live for God and live a holy life, this is the best place to be. Just is, honestly, for now. Hopefully there'll be many great places to be, but this is a great place to be a disciple of Jesus. The bar's high. It's massively challenging. It's true war, but you're in the right room. Make your decisions today because it's going to be a phenomenal year. Don't walk out of the room and regret, you know, missing opportunities. Certainly opportunities to come to Jesus. You know, David said, there's just a step between me and death. Just a step. Reinhard Bonnke, when he was a young man, was preaching in a village in Germany. And he was preached the gospel. Some people came to Jesus. Some people chose not to. As they were going out of the church, Reinhard was shaking hands with different people. And suddenly the Holy Spirit said to him, "The young girl behind you, challenge her to receive Jesus." And he turned around and he said, "Good morning, young girl." Well, you know, she was a teenager, an older teenager. "Did you receive Jesus as your Savior this morning?"
"No, I didn't."
"Why didn't you receive Jesus as your Savior?"
"Because my boyfriend hates Jesus."
He said, "Young woman, if your boyfriend hates Jesus, you have the wrong man altogether. Receive Jesus as your Savior." And he was shaking her by the shoulders.
She said, "But I love him, my God."
And she broke free from him and ran out. Ran out, thought, "Well, I've done my duty. Who else? I mean, you couldn't do any more, could you? What can you do? Take a hand and sign something, or can't carry people to heaven. They have to choose, walk." And the next morning, some of you know this terrible, terrible story. The next morning, Reinhard's at breakfast in the house of the pastor, and someone runs in. "There's been a terrible accident. A young girl's been knocked over and killed in the street." You know it was. You know it was. Reinhard was devastated. He fell to his knees in the kitchen and he asked God for mercy. He said, "God, should I have shook her some more? Should I have asked her some more?" And then he made a vow and said, "Oh God, all through my life, whenever I preached about Jesus, help me to make it simple and to preach straight and to give everyone this opportunity to come to you right there and then." Why? Because there's a step between us and death, brothers and sisters. The opportunities you have today, you may never have them again. May never have them again. You have an opportunity this year to become a switch from being a church attender to a disciple of Jesus Christ. Very different things. You have an opportunity to walk in the light now, in preparation, in developing your friendship with the Holy Spirit. You have an opportunity to receive the grace of Jesus like the man on the cross, or not, like the other man on the cross. Our choices are very, very important. So why don't we stand to our feet and make some now? If you need to make a significant choice in your life, then Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to help everyone to prepare for 2020. Maybe you've had a bad attitude, grumpy, negative, grumbling. Repent now and ask God to change your heart. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not really born again. Then this is your opportunity to come forward too. Maybe you need to leave the past, really leave it, and let God be absolutely number one in your life. This again is an opportunity for you. I believe all through this month, you'll have this big opportunity to prepare, prepare, prepare. This is one of those opportunities. If that's you, God's speaking to you. He absolutely loves you. Quickly come down to the front and meet the Lord who is here for you to meet with you. He loves you. There's no condemnation for you. But make sure you're saved. You're right with God. You know, you've already been blessed in this service many times. But if you need to do this, then you come to the front now. He is an opportunity for you.